But God's got some good things for us today. You know, God loves us so greatly. You know, John and Liz are such a wonderful example of faithfulness. They're such a wonderful example. You notice I didn't say perfection. You know, and I say this all the time, not to pick on anybody, but, you know, none of us are going to be perfect. You know, there's some people that try to hold Christians to an unobtainable standard, which is funny because even Jesus didn't do that, and Jesus was the Son of God. And he was the one who ultimately judged. But, you know, they're an example of faithfulness. And what I mean by that is you see that in their lives. You know, it was important. They came to me. It was quite some time ago now, and came to me about the idea of getting married, you know, and wanting to get married, and I hadn't said anything to him about it. I knew it was right before the Lord, but I try to let the Lord work things in and out of people, amen. And so it was just on their heart. They knew that it was right. They knew it would take their relationship somewhere, you know, and they had some things to do to get that in order, but they worked towards it, you know. They worked because it was important to them. And, you know, really what that is putting the work of the Lord of utmost importance in your life. And so as they work towards that goal, you know, they would see opposition towards it and stuff. But you know what they did was they kept moving towards that goal until today when it comes to pass. And that's a great example of faithfulness, is that you don't got to be perfect. You know, living as a Christian isn't about being perfect. It's about living right. You know what I'm saying? It's about living right in God's eyes. It's about knowing what God wants for you and finding out what that is and then living accordingly. You see, because man's plans always lead us in directions that will go all kinds of ways. We see that today. We see a country that's in so much upheaval. And, it, you know, at first it was this side saying it was this side, and now we see it was the other side doing the same thing they said the other side was doing. And now both sides are going back and forth doing it. And what's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on. They don't have God in the middle. See, because when you have God in the middle, you learn how to truly love somebody. When you have God in the middle, you can put up with somebody even though they disagree with you. You can love on them even though they're different thoughts. Amen? And see, when you prefer one another, and really that's an example of what we're supposed to be as Christians, is when you prefer one another, when you learn to prefer one another, then there's not these, there's not riots. There's not problems with you know different kinds of wars, and so all wars are all started from humans being single-minded, yeah. Amen. And see, God never intended any of that. Now we see that there's times in the Bible where God directed His people to go into war, and that's because sometimes you have to. You know, sometimes there's things that will happen in life that you can't avoid. For example, if somebody broke into my house, I'm not going to try to talk nice to them. As somebody who was trying to do something to one of my kids, I'm not going to pat him on the back or try to get him counseling. I'm going to give him five-finger counseling, hallelujah, because that's exactly what you do. I'll tie him up to a tree and preach to him all night long, hallelujah. But see, this is the thing. When somebody's threatening you, you got to protect your own, and everybody knows that. There ain't any parent in here, and if they're a good parent, that would let somebody just do something randomly to their child. Well, God's the same way, amen. And when we have a full understanding of the word, we see that it's not wrong. We see that it's not crazy. Amen. I watch videos. I watched a video this week just by these scientists that put this together. They're scientists that happen to believe in intelligent design. And it was really quite amazing because as I was watching it, I was sitting there thinking, man, because they show how crazy it is that all this just happened. This just happened by accident. I mean, it is so foolish to even think that. I mean, if you have any kind of knowledge in any kind of study, scientific study at all, the very fact that people could say that this all happened by accident is foolish. But God, the reason I say all this, yeah, I'm building to something here, amen. But the reason I say all this is because people come in, you know, a lot of times people come in the church, they come in hurting. Sometimes they come because they're forced here for a wedding, praise the Lord. And then sometimes they come because they're hurting. You know, that was a joke. You could laugh, hallelujah. But, you know, sometimes people come for all different kinds of reasons. But, you know, I've seen it. And a lot of times, oftentimes, it's because it's a place of last resort. It's because when people have tried everything else in the world and they see that it doesn't work, then they wonder, there's got to be something else. They have that hope. And the reason they have that hope is because God's placed that hope on the inside of them. And see, our God isn't a God that's bad. He isn't doing bad things. You know, but God also isn't a God that's all out there manipulating and controlling everything like some people teach. The Bible just clearly tells us that that's not the case. That things are done by man's will. In fact, our relationship with God is sought out through man's will, not God's will. His will is that we all find Him. And that's why He's placed things on the inside of us to find Him. But that doesn't mean that all men will. You know, and there's so many, you know, we talk about this a lot around here, and we disprove it with the Bible, of course. But there's so many people that say things, you know, like there's, I saw some stupid Christian. Praise the Lord for stupid Christians. But the other, some of them are real just dumb. I saw one stupid Christian sitting there saying, oh, this is God's, you know, Hurricane Harvey and Irma, this is God's judgment. That's just not scriptural. In fact, what does that do? It pushes people away. When people die, they say, well, God just called that person home. But so we see that God doesn't cause death according to the Bible. We see that God doesn't put clay on his people. We see these things in scripture. Now, this is what our scripture tells us about our God. But we got a lot of people out there that don't spend enough time researching. And then they go out and just run their mouths and they say stupid things. And then there's people in the world thinking, why do I want to serve a God who kills babies? Why do I want to serve a God who just drops hurricanes on people? But see, that's not the God we serve. We serve a good God, a loving God, a God who loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish in eternal life. God way. He doesn't send people to hell. People go there on their own accord. And you have to understand that God is constantly trying to work in us and work through us, praise the Lord. And as we learn to do that, now that doesn't mean that we just, you know, God's love is a wonderful thing. That doesn't mean we just lay down and do whatever people want us to do. Because how many know when somebody's doing something that's bad to them, you got to call it out sometimes. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. If I preach a message that's bold, it's because I love people. Listen, you don't become a pastor in a church like ours and do the things that are required of a person in my position to do because you don't love people. You do this because you love people, amen? You give up your life. You sacrifice those things that, you know, yesterday was a nice sunny day, praise the Lord. You sacrifice nice sunny days because you love people, yes. Praise the Lord. You don't do these types of things because it makes you a millionaire, because I'm going to tell you right now, most people want pastors in poverty. They think that you should be, even though the Bible says that every child of God should have more than enough. In fact, the Bible tells us how to get more than enough. He told us how to do it. Praise the Lord. Jesus, one of the first things he said about himself was that he fulfilled the scripture that said he was to preach the gospel to the poor. And it was to preach the gospel to the poor so they didn't have to be poor no more. Hallelujah. And I love that about our God, that he wants to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. That's Philippians 4:19. That's in the scripture too, by the way. Jesus said, don't worry about anything. He said, all you have to do is ask and you will receive. But he said, serve me, follow me, and you'll have everything you ever need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you will never lack for anything. That's what the Bible says. That's what our Bible says. You got a King James Bible? Says that. You got an NIV Bible? It'll say most of that. Hallelujah. If you got a New King James Bible, it says all that. Praise the Lord. If you got many other, you see, God has set it up in such a perfect way. And when you really understand that, but see, a lot of people won't even look at that. Well, where am I going with all this? Praise God. I'm getting into something here. Glory to God. You know, it's a good place to be on a Sunday morning, isn't church? Church changed my life. Church took me from being worthless and no good. Just worthless. I wasn't worth the air I breathed. In fact, a lot of times it was probably costing other people. But see, God saw something. He saw something that he could use. He saw something he wanted to use. Because the Bible says that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that's how he can take a high school dropout like myself, a former drug user like myself. He can take somebody who was a former fornicator, praise the Lord, a former adulterer, all these kinds of things, do all these horrible things in my life. And he can take me and use me. Why? Because God, it's God. He's the deciding factor. It isn't because I did anything but follow him. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, God will make you look a lot better than you are. But see, sooner or later, people get tired of the world biting them. They get tired of the world's way not working. Praise the Lord. People say, well, you can't have a wedding in a church like that. You have a big church. Why? Over 50% of them fail. You plan out these big weddings. Look at Hollywood. They spend the most money and have the biggest parties on all their weddings. And how many of them last more than a year? Most of them can't even make it to a year. Why? Because it's not based in anything real. You see, the more we base our lives on the world, the more we're going to have what the world has. And what the world has is death. What the world has is destruction. What the world has is no hope. But see, what God has is hope. What God has is life, and life more abundantly, hallelujah. It means God wants to infiltrate your life. He wants to get in there, and he wants to affect you in such a great way. Praise God. Well, I'm excited about it. Today we're going to talk about how to release your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How to release your faith. You know, last week my wife was doing announcements up here, and she's not just the announcement girl. My wife is a pastor. Praise the Lord. Yes, women can be pastors too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's some religious people that try to take things out of context and say, well, you can't make women. Women got to be, you know, they got to be down here and beaten down and put in the back room. And you can use them as Sunday school teachers, but don't you dare let them stand up and pastor. But see, that isn't the will of God. Yeah. Amen. We find that out. Actually, God has to use women most of the time because men are so dumb they won't listen to them. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many times God had to bring a good woman in my life because he couldn't get me to be straight otherwise. You know what I mean? I was as curvy as a real curvy road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was curvy as something that was real stinking curvy. That's how curvy. I mean, I was all over the place. Left, right, up, down, backwards, forward. I was all over the place. I didn't know what was going on. So what did God say? He's like, I gotta bring him something. Somebody. Yeah. He's gotta bring me an atheist. Hallelujah. That's what my wife was. She didn't believe in God. She didn't want none of that God stuff. I remember the first time I told her, I was like, hey, we had been together for a couple months, and I was like, I really love you. I love where this is going and everything like that. But I said, I know that a relationship that's not built on God will not stand. And she looks at me like, You know, like, what do you mean? What do you mean that God stuff? She's like, I'm like, why? There's this church that I want to go to. I said, I've been there once. She's like, okay. Because she loved me, she decided to go. You ever do that? Praise the Lord. You go because somebody loves you? Praise the Lord. She went. And we went, and we sat way towards the back. Praise God. We were sitting back there, and there's people standing there singing songs, holding their hands up in the air, saying amen. Man, I ain't doing any of that. You know, I ain't going to do it. She told us. She was like, I'll go, and I'll come back if this is what we got to do. But I ain't gonna raise my hand. I ain't gonna be hooting and hollering, and I certainly ain't singing any of them goofy songs, praise the Lord. But see, what happens was when God gets down inside of you, something starts changing. You know, God is the one that softened me up a little bit, amen? And God softened her up as well. And as he did that, as he worked in us, he brought something out that was really, really precious. My wife is the most amazing example of a woman that I know. I mean, she is such an incredible, and I'll say, you know, my wife, my mom is really awesome as well. I love my mom. But, you know, one of the things I looked for in a wife was somebody like my mom, praise the Lord. And I got that. But my wife is the most amazing example of a woman and of a mother and of a pastor, as a leader, as a child of God. She is willing to do whatever it takes. If I say the Lord's put this on my heart, that's the way we go. Amen. She's after it. She is an example to people. She's an example of selflessness. She puts out all the time. There's many times where I had to travel to be with my pastor because we had to go reach somebody. We had to go help somebody here, or we had to go help somebody there. And my wife said, don't worry, honey, about home. I'll take care of it. I never worried when I left. When I came home, I always knew my wife was there and she was taking care of things, and she took care of them way better than I ever could. She was working on things that I could never accomplish myself. She runs the whole household. Praise the Lord. Shining example. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But it all comes by building faith. Amen. She was pretty awesome when I met her, but she's even better now. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. It's a good day to talk about weddings, marriages, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, God's got good word for us, and we're going to get into the Bible and see what that says too. But the world operates according to faith, whether it believes it or not, whether it knows it or not. Faith is positive, faith is negative. Now, a lot of times when we talk about faith according to Scripture, we talk about God's kind of faith. Because God's kind of faith is what produces the things that we want to get. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you want to get corn, then you got to plant corn, and you got to plant it according to the way you got to plant corn. Well, God wants is the same thing. If you want the things that come out of the Word, you have to plant the Word the way that God said so. Amen? But to get faith the way the world has, it's real. We see it working all the time. When people live miserable, they get what's caused by living miserable. Amen? People who are nasty, they get what is caused by being nasty. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, there's things, bad things that happen to good people. I understand that. But we have to understand that that's because things are working according to the way the world is. But when you influence the world with God, when you influence your faith with God, when you influence your life with God, things start changing in a way that they never could change before. And see, the biggest part of that is learning how to release the right kind of faith. It's not just a matter of releasing faith and just saying, well, I'm going to do this, but we have to release the right kind of faith. We have to get into the Word and do what the Word says. And when we do that, our lives change. But see, it's when we don't do that our lives don't change. That's why you see Christians who one day are talking about how good God is, and they're up there. We've all seen them. Praise the Lord, I was one of these. Talking about how good God is and everything, and, you know, God is doing this and God is doing that, and you should come to church. And then the next day they're out there at the bars, or they're out there doing drugs, or they're out there doing all these things. Why? Because they haven't got revelation of God's word. They haven't let it sit in them yet. And then they become hypocrites. And then what they do is they're showing the world just how little their faith really is. They're showing the world how worthless their God really is. And you don't think that people are watching, but I'm going to tell you, I chased a lot of people away from the gospel because I wouldn't live right. I said I chased a lot of people away from maybe even eternal life with God because I refused to live right in a time when I should have just done the word and lived the way the word said. Amen? But when we live according to the word, it's not just about living right. Oh, you're so bad and you've been doing wrong and you do this wrong, you do that wrong. That's not what the word is. That's not why God corrects sin. He corrects sin because the Bible tells us that sin causes death. Sin causes death in human flesh. That's what sin, its whole goal is to get in you and cause death. How do you know? Well, you look at anything that's considered sin and look at the end result of it. Pay attention to what the end result is. It's either death for that person or someone else. That's exactly what it is. You the basic things. You take drinking, you take drugs, you take partying, all this lifestyle. I lived in that lifestyle. I know what it's all about. And I know that the only thing at the end of that road is death. For me, it was either going to be by the substance itself, or it was going to be by sticking a gun in my head. And that's exactly the way I lived. It was going to be the substance itself or putting a noose around my neck. It was going to be something, but it was going to be something. Because that's what sin wants to do. Sin is a thing from the devil to create death in the human race because he can't stand God's perfect people, his perfect creation. He wants God's perfect creation destroyed. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to know him. They'll all come to the place of repentance where they realize that God isn't trying to remove from them. For God's sakes, we got to teach people how to live right. And in a world that doesn't want to hear how to live right, and they wonder why there's so many problems in it. Because you have a world that is consistently and continually not living right. Morally, this country is disgusting. And compared to what it was 10 years ago, it's worse. Compared to what it was 50 years ago, it's worse. And why do you think that it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and the moral fabric of our society is built down? Because this entire country was built on God's law, the understanding that God is good and he has a direction for us. And if we follow that, praise the Lord, we'll be prosperous. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It overcomes the world. It overcomes the problems in the world. It overcomes everything the world will throw at you. This is why we teach people in this church to live by faith. This is why we continually teach people to live by faith. Because as you live by faith, then you overcome the world. You overcome those obstacles that come against you. I don't worry about things anymore. Because I have God living on the inside of me. And I know that I'm an overcomer. See, but you got to teach people that because people don't just know that. But in order to be an overcomer, you have to understand how to overcome. And you do it by faith. Our faith is what overcomes the world. And when it says the world, it means all the trials and all the tribulation that comes. Trials come to every man. Faith is the only thing that overcomes them. There is no man or woman that will live on this earth without trial and tribulation. Doesn't matter if you're serving God or not, you're going to see trial and you're going to see tribulation. The difference is who serves God has hope that there's something at the end. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, I'm not talking about being of a certain religion, a certain denomination, because it's not denomination that gets you there. It's a relationship with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he teaches us how to release our faith. You know, faith is faith to be effective. It has to be built on the right thing. No wise builder builds on a weak foundation. You know, when you build a house, you don't just like throw something down on the ground and start putting boards on top of it and expect the house to stand. No, what do? You dig down and you get to somewhere solid, and then you pour concrete, something that's solid, and you reinforce it with steel, which is solid. Yeah. So you can build on it so you know it's not going to move. But the same thing is with our lives. If our lives are built on wishy-washy ideas of man, Oh, I love that. A wishy-washy idea is a man. I love those. People come up with all kinds of ideas of what God, and God told us who he was. God told us what he was. God told us how to find him. He told us what to look for. He told us, he said, in fact, and then he said, if you do, you will. He promised that. Why do you think those people you know that became goofy Christians, why do you think they became goofy Christians? Because they discovered that God was real. Listen, I ain't serving a God that's some God that's out there somewhere that I don't ever see, that I don't ever... God speaks to me every day of my life. Every day God speaks to me. Every day he's leading me. Every day he shows me. How do you think a man could be go from a place where I was in and out of mental hospitals all the time? I was in and out of suicide all the time. I was in and out of drugs and living that life all the time. And I could never be stable. I was the most unstable person you have probably ever met, praise the Lord. But see, God had a different plan. It was when I connected with God's life and I got that living on the inside of me, things started changing. I started overcoming those things that I couldn't overcome by myself. It didn't matter. See, the awesome thing about God's word, it is a great equalizer. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter who your history was. It doesn't matter who your family was. The only thing that matters in God is that you follow him. And once you follow him, praise the Lord, he opens all the doors that no man can shut. He opens a pathway that no man can block. He gives you the direction that no man can steal from you. Hallelujah. And he puts it on the inside of you, because God wasn't enough for God to just say, I'm going to live on the outside of him. He said, I'm going to send my son, and then after my son, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, because my son is going to open the door for the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of them, show them everything that they need to know. Praise the Lord. That's what our God did. That's what our God wanted for us. But see, somewhere along the way, Christians have lost sight of this. They've lost sight of the idea that God actually is a personal God. He created us to love him. He created us to be with him, to be able to have the creative power. His power he put on the inside of us. He tells us that in Genesis when he said he created us in his likeness, in his image. Praise the Lord. No wise builder builds on a weak or unstable foundation. 1 Corinthians 13 or 3:11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Praise the Lord. If you haven't noticed, I'm getting my voice back. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's coming back. If this is your first time hearing me, no, I don't normally sound this awesome. Praise the Lord. I can actually get a little bit louder. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Other foundation can anyone lay that than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you right now. You can have any kind of structure on top, but if it's built on Jesus, all glory, it's going to last. God didn't mean us. He meant us to be creative. He meant us to be builders. He meant us to be producers. He meant us to be effective. God hates poverty. This whole concept that God loves poverty is absolutely foolish, and you'll never see it in Scripture. In fact, everyone you ever see that followed God in Scripture, they became extremely wealthy. Yeah, Solomon was said that Solomon was the richest man in the entire human history. And all he did was follow God. And God said, because you sought me and not riches, I'm going to make you rich. See, God wants us supplied. He wants us taken care of. He doesn't want, see, that's the thing. People sit there and think, they're like, well, how does it work? How does God want, it works because the word is real and the word works. And see, when somebody starts working it, well, see, people, they'll call it all kinds of things. They'll say all kinds of things. I'll tell you what, I love the fact that I have more today than I've ever had and I make less than I did 10 years ago. I love that fact. Because you can't describe it. And people say, how does that happen? Well, obviously the church is buying it. Yeah, obviously the church is making it. I'm going to tell you right now, this church pays its bills, praise the Lord, and thank God for it. But if you sat here long enough, you'd know that if this church had that surplus to make me rich, it would have had the front done of the building. It wouldn't take up building funds to put the roof on. It would already have been taken care of. You understand? See, God's word works because it works. Because that's the way that it was meant to be. God is, he's the one who created it, ordained it to work that way. So it doesn't matter why. But there'll be fools that will spend more time sitting there going, well, how can that even work? And then instead of trying it, everything in their life can fall apart. And they will reject the commandment of God because it's just different. Because it's different. Well, try it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No other foundation can one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We need to understand a few faith principles, things about using our faith. What is spoken out of the mouths of men is generally what they believe. So what you say is what you believe. Generally, what you say is what's in your heart. Now, I'm not saying everybody has those moments where they say dumb things that wasn't really what they thought. But you understand, generally, the way you speak, if you look at the way you speak over a course of time, that proves what your faith is. That tells you what you believe. Somebody says things are always bad, they're always bad, they're always bad. They believe. You know, faith is what you believe. So faith isn't necessarily, oh, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, whatever. Faith is what you believe of God. So if you believe that things are always rotten, that's what your faith is. So what your faith is what you're going to speak. It's a true indication of faith. In fact, I know, I can see this. I've been a pastor just long enough to see this, and I've been a Christian more than long enough to see this, that when trial comes on people, you find out what kind of faith they have, because that's when they start speaking their true selves. That's when they start speaking what they truly believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. People say to me sometimes, like, how come you be so happy when things are going wrong? Because I've learned what faith is. Yeah. I've learned that God hasn't put that on me. So if I can be wise enough according to the word to know that God didn't put it on me, then I know that He's made me an overcomer, that I'm going to get to the other side of it, so I can sit here whining and crying about it. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Another thing we have to understand about faith is faith must be released for it to be active. If faith is not released, it's not active. We're going to see that here. Well, another thing we have to understand is people activate the wrong faith often. What one wants, and this is an example of it, is not always what one believes. You may want riches. This is what I love about people that bash the idea of wealth. Is that all these people that talk about wealth and talk about how bad the wealthy are and stuff like this, these same people all desire the same thing. They all desire the wealth. So what, do they desire to be a horrible person? But that's the truth. I mean, that's the truth. There's no man that doesn't desire more than what they have. No woman that doesn't desire more than what they have. They come up with all kinds of ways to get it, and there could be arguments there, but the fact of the matter is everybody desires it. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone who disagrees? Is there anybody who hasn't thought about money this week? Hasn't thought about a bill, wondered about how it's going to get paid or anything like that? Praise the Lord. Been there. Amen. But what people want is not always what they believe. Some people can want it, but believe they'll never have it. See, that's having negative faith against it. Amen. And another thing that we understand about faith, and this is the last point of that I want to leave you with, is that faith rests. It always rests. Faith is the thing that goes, whew, okay. All this stuff is flying at me. Glory, hallelujah. All this stuff is coming down around me. Faith kicks back in the chair, the easy chair, kicks the foot out, says, I'm just going to sit here and rest. I'm going to close my eyes because God is good. Why do you think those goofy Christians say God is good all the time? Because they know God is good, or they should. And if they do, then they'll kick their chair. And if you see them, like, listen, Jesus was in the back of a boat, and there was a storm sinking the boat. The disciples are bailing water out of the boat, and they turn around, Jesus is sleeping. And they say, Jesus, we're dying. The boat's sinking, Jesus. Do you not understand what's going on here? Jesus, do you not feel the wind? Yeah, you know, we watched a lot of us probably watched hurricane footage on TV. The Bible says that it was a storm of hurricane proportions. So you understand that when the winds blow, it's not just like, oh, it's a nice breeze. When the wind's blowing, when there's a hurricane coming, when your boat's filling with water. Listen, if you're out in the middle of Lake Erie and all of a sudden the waves kick up and you're up and down in your boat. Now, these people were fishermen, okay? So fishermen, you take a fisherman who's used to Lake Erie and take him out there, and he ain't going to get all upset when there's some waves, when there's a little bit of chop. But I'm going to tell you something. When the fishermen start fretting because the boat looks like it's going down, it means that it's time to start fretting because the boat looks like it's going down. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's exactly what was happening. Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. He was back there saying, oh, sleep. His head on a pillow. And he said, hey, Jesus, sinking. We're sinking, Jesus. You ever said that? You ever felt that? Oh, have you ever been there, children of God? Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like, oh, dear Jesus, I'm sinking. My life is sinking, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know where we can go. I don't know what's going to happen to Jesus. It's sinking. It's sinking, Jesus. He knew. He knows. He says, have faith. He says, release your faith. Jesus turned around and he said to him, he woke up and he's like, first of all, I'm mad because you disturbed my nap. Praise the Lord. The last instruction that Jesus gave him was, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Child of God, the last instruction Jesus gave you was get in the boat and go to the other side. He said, you're going to the other side if you believe me to get there. And they said, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. He rebuked them. He said, you have little faith. He said, I said, we're going to the other side. So it doesn't matter. The boat could sink. We're still going. I don't know how we're going to get there. Because if we're in the boat that Jesus is in, it goes to the other side. And then what did he do? He stood up. He opened his mouth and rebuked the storm, and the storm was over. Praise God. Faith rests. We need to rest. Say, Pastor Jeff, you're not resting now. Well, sometimes I got to get out of rest to get you to rest. See, we gotta work it a certain way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:9. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at what Hebrews 4:9 says. The word is so good. We're gonna go through verse 12. Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest for the people of God. Okay, that's great. A lot of people hear these faith statements. They hear, God is good. He'll take care of you. Don't worry about a thing. They'll hear all this stuff. And they say, but it doesn't look like that in my life. The boat's sinking, Jesus. That's what they're saying. And I understand the feeling. I understand when the boat's sinking, it's scary. But I also understand that I have a God who's better than a sinking boat. Hallelujah. There remains, therefore, rest for the people of God. All principles of faith you're going to see here in a second. Look at this, verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He who has entered his rest. Faith is a choice. It is a choice whether or not we enter the rest that God has provided for us. It's our choice. It's our choice whether we decide we're going to believe the word or not. You know how I can tell when people believe the word? Because people continue in it. Because when people believe the word, they continue in it. They find that it actually works. They continue on that road. You know how I know when people didn't really have faith at all? Because they don't continue in it. Because they easily lay it down. They return to their vomit. They go back to the things that always drew them away. This is why people fail. It isn't because God has made people to fail. He's made us to be overcomers. But people only overcome by their own faith. What they choose, what they believe of God, what they decide that they're going to hang on. Man, my wife and I have hung on through some pretty awesome things. I'll tell you what, I remember a time when the wind blew and the doctors told me that my little daughter that was yet to be born was not going to be born or probably would not be born. I remember when the doctors told me these things. And I remember taking that moment where I was bailing the water out of the boat and I had 5 minutes between the time I left my wife and I had to pick up my son from school and I was by myself and I knew as the husband of the head of the household that I had to stay in faith because if I didn't, the boat would sink. And so I went there and I remember I had 5 minutes to cry, I had 5 minutes to get it out. And I did, I let it out, I let it all. I went before God and I let it all out. I cried, I bawled my eyes out because all I wanted was to see this little girl. And everything around me was telling me it wasn't going to happen. But my God said we're going to the other side. My God said we go to the other side. They said if we were lucky, we would make it to 30 weeks. She was born 41 weeks. She went week late, glory to God. Because, see, this is the way of God. The devil tried to rear his head up. But God ain't going to have it if you don't let it. Hallelujah. But, see, God has given us the authority. He's given us the ability to release our faith. The reason, there's a reason. And the thing is God doesn't take any baby. He doesn't desire any baby die. Praise the Lord. But, see, the thing that people don't understand is that God just can't do anything he wants to do. Oh, that trips some people up. There's some people calling me a heretic, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's all through the Word. How do we know this? We see it time and time again. The people of God, when they did what God said, they went into the promised land, and when they didn't, they didn't. Yes. Everything that he provided, everything he paid for, everything he gave them, They walked into it when they chose to walk into it. But when they didn't, they didn't. And now we live in a time period where a lot of the body of Christ doesn't even know the word, that when they hear something like that, they think, well, everything happens. It happens because God, it's through God's hands. And then you wonder why your unsaved friends, your unsaved family members don't want to believe in God. Why would I believe in a God? Or why would I serve a God who kills people? Why would I serve a God who takes... The Bible tells us that death is a result of sin. It's the wages of sin. Sin in the flesh. God didn't create sin. The devil came up with sin. The devil wanted sin. He's the one that put it out there. Why do we see these things? Because God, not because God wants it to happen, but because that's what happens in a fallen world. Praise God. You know, there's people, I've heard people foolishly have declared that God has caused cancer. And I think it's sick. Think that a loving God, I'm going to tell you right now, I would not serve a God that causes cancer. I would rebuke a God that causes cancer. I wouldn't serve a God for an instant because I've seen the effects of it. My stepfather died of cancer, full of cancer. I've seen children that have died from cancer. God doesn't cause cancer. That's a result of the enemy. That's a result of the devil working. Praise the Lord. God is a healer. The Bible tells us that. But see, faith has to be released. If you don't enter the rest, you won't get into it. It goes on to say here, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Look at that. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. You have to be diligent. You have to diligently seek the rest. You have to diligently seek the faith. Say, I'm after it. I'm not going to let it go because this is what the word says. It doesn't look like it. I understand it doesn't look like it. I understand it doesn't feel like it. I understand that you don't think that you can, but you can. And that's all you need to know is that God can and that He did. And because He can and because He did, now you can, hallelujah, if you're in Him. If you follow after God, if you hook up your faith to what God has, what He has said, if you stop looking at the world through your own eyes and look at it through His eyes, then things will start to change. Be diligent to enter that rest. For the Word of God, look at this, verse 12, the Word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And in case you didn't know, that is everything that you are comprised of. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I love that the Scripture refers to the Bible as the Word of God. What is a word supposed? What are you supposed to do with a word? You're supposed to speak it. It's supposed to come out of your mouth. We're given a tongue that speaks many, 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 many words. Praise the Lord. What happens when we start speaking a word that says it's living and powerful? How does that Bible become living and powerful? When you speak it. When you let it, when you release it out of your mouth, when you say, God's truth is going to come out of me now. That's releasing the word. That's releasing faith. That's how you get those things that be not as though they were. That's how you call those things in that you didn't have. That's how you make it. And you don't have to believe it, but you can keep going without it. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't believe it. That's fine. You don't have to believe a word I'm saying. Don't believe any of it. But then don't keep asking why you ain't having it. And don't sit there getting mad at God when you ain't getting it. He told us how to get it. It's in His Word. Praise the Lord. The Word is activated by speaking. Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth and whatever you loose on earth. This isn't just being one of those goofy Christians who walk around, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I bind you, devil. That's not just what it is. It's living it. It's living like it. If you live your life like garbage, you can't expect when you get garbage, you can't be surprised by that. If you live your life like the world, then you will get what the world gives because that's all you will get. There is no hope in the world if you haven't figured that out yet. There's no hope out there. In God, there is. He said, whatever you bind, see, people just think it's in. Yes, it does work with your mouth. You do have to bind. But you can't bind something with your mouth. You can't say this and that and then go live your life something else and expect you're going to have it. Ain't going to happen. Listen, if you're partnering with the devil, you're going to have what the devil brings. Yeah. That's why I got no tolerance for stuff anymore. Yeah. I don't have tolerance for things like alcohol anymore. You know why? Oh, this is going to make somebody mad, and I'm glad. Because I've watched alcohol destroy life after life after life. And I've watched people who party and spend all this time, and then I've watched it increase and increase and increase. We watched yet another young person that we knew, another young person that my wife was close with, die as a result of drugs because people have this mindset about partying. You know, it's just okay. You can just do whatever you want, and it's fine. But then when it rises up in people, and all of a sudden it's an epidemic, everybody's like, well, how do we stop that? How do we stop that? How do we stop this? How do we stop this? You're creating more of it by the same stuff. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's good. For God's sakes, look at what it does to people. How many people who have been destroyed? How many times have you seen somebody from a DWI or something like that? People are just so casual about it. So casual. I hear people joking about it. Joking about it. I used to live that life. Fully immersed in that life. And why not anymore? Because I see the effects that it has. I'll tell you, I want to start doing some of these funerals. I want to start doing some of these funerals and reminding people that the reason that someone's in the casket is because people are not strong enough against the stuff that causes death in the life of people. People are so casual with it, like it's okay. Yeah. Oh, I understand. The Bible says that sin is fun for a time. It says it's enjoyable for a season. Yeah. Ask any cheater that. Anybody who's ever committed adultery. Ask them, yeah, it was great. It was great while they're out running around, but then when they got to pay the consequences of it, they don't like it so much anymore, do they? You see, because there are consequences, the thing we do. I know it's not popular to talk about in today's society, but listen, when you do something bad, sometimes there are consequences and there needs to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. James 2:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. I promise you I woke up nice today. Glory. Hallelujah. James 2:14. Like, I came here for a wedding. What is all this, man? Praise the Lord. Don't worry about having a party afterwards. You have some mac salad, whatever you got out there, some chicken salad. Got some butter bits out there, right? Ham salad. Okay, that's right. Ham salad's good, too. We like pork around here. Praise the Lord. Enjoy the pork. Praise God. Mix it with some mayonnaise. Mix anything with mayonnaise. Meat and mayonnaise. Wow. It's good. Praise the Lord. Meat and mayonnaise. Maybe I should have preached about that today. Meat and mayonnaise. What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? It's a good point, right? What it's saying is, it's not saying that we have to set up 50 soup kitchens in every town. I'm not saying soup kitchens are wrong. I'm just saying that's not what this scripture is telling us to do. What it's saying is that when you say something and your actions are different, when you have that result, there's a reason for it. Because you can't expect to say something and have everybody believe, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I want to beat on you. Listen, you don't love him. He doesn't love you. You know, that's the way that it works. I love you, I love you, I love you, but I'm running around on you. He doesn't love you. You understand? She doesn't love you. Praise the Lord. It works both ways. I love you, I love you, I love you, but I never want to spend time with you. I want to be married. I want to get married, but I want my own time. I want to be my own person. You became one. That's what married means. If you don't want to be married, don't get married. Ain't nobody put a gun to your head and say, anybody put a gun to your head and say, you got married? No. I mean, you know. But nobody tells people they got to be married. What does married mean? It's just like, you know, people don't understand what the meaning of words. If you understand what the meaning of words are, they make a lot more sense. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. So what does it profit? It doesn't profit you anything. So it goes on to say, verse 17, that's also, don't worry, for you, those of you who don't know, we only hear another about 45 minutes and then we're done. And then we'll go, and then we move on to the ham salad. Hallelujah. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, if your faith, if you're saying this is my faith, if you're saying this is what my faith is all about, and you do something opposite of that, you prove that your faith isn't faith at all. And so even though you could go to church, you say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I, this and that, but then you live opposite like that when you're not in these four walls here, then I have to question your faith. Why? Because you're not living it. Listen, Jesus, it wasn't a suggestion. Salvation wasn't a suggestion. So, you know, living right wasn't a suggestion by God. Living according to God's word wasn't a suggestion. Living according to the Bible is not a suggestion. It's a direction if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want life and want it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. I still think it's funny that we are the weird ones. Like, listen, like if I give you, if you come to my house and you want to, say you're going to do something, say I'm going to have you come to my house and I give you directions to come to my house. I say, this is how you get here. And when you get here, this is all that I have for you. I got all this stuff here for you. You can freely partake of it, but when you get there, you get the directions and you say, yeah, well, okay, he lives on Morris Road, but you know what? I don't like that first part of Morris Road there. So I'm going to drive down East Chautauqua Avenue. Is that a road? That's a road, right? Chautauqua Avenue. Trying to get all the roads right. You know, I haven't been here that long, so give me a break, all right? Don't judge me. Hey, we'll go back to Jamestown. Praise the Lord. We'll go back to Jamestown. I'll tell you all the streets. Praise the Lord. You know, I grew up in Jamestown, lived in Jamestown, but that doesn't mean I can't come here and live here too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I pay taxes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Almost less than Jamestown, believe it or not. It's amazing. But praise God, hallelujah. Near here than there. But anyways, so you say, well, I'm gonna go down this way, and I'm gonna go this way. You're never gonna get to the destination. And then you call me foolish for giving you the directions. And then I got people posted all over the place to say, hey, listen, here are the directions. This is how you get to Pastor Jeff's house. It's not hard. It really isn't. You go up here, take a left, and you're there. Praise God. You just go up, you know, and there it is. But then people say, oh, you're foolish. You're foolish. I don't believe anything you say. I'm going to do things the way I do. So you keep driving around, wondering why you never find God. He gave us his word. And he told us it works. And then there's people that prove that it works. And there's a lot of other people that don't like that people prove that it works, and so they say it don't work. And everybody listens to them with no proof, but no matter how much proof I stack up, oh, I can give you natural proof. You want proof on intelligent design? I can give you proof after proof after proof. You want proof on how we didn't come from monkeys? I'll give you proof after proof after proof. In fact, we got a whole bunch of scientists to say, guess what? You didn't come from a monkey. You didn't. You didn't come from, I know that shocks a lot of people, praise the Lord. In this day and age, you still believe that? Yeah, but because some foolish talk show host has a loud mouth and they sit there and say, can you believe they don't believe in evolution and stuff like that? Yeah, we don't believe in it. It's foolish. If you actually look at it, it's wholeheartedly stupid. It is. It's foolish. And I'm not talking about, praise God, I ain't even go there. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Where are we at? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'm backing up what I'm saying with my butt. Hallelujah. What I do is what I say. That's what I believe. Amen. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Listen, if you're a Christian and you don't live Christ-like, you don't have faith. You are living apart from the faith, and you are in danger of hell. That's the truth. You are in danger of hell. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Chew on that with your ham salad. That's a joke, just to make a little, you know, praise the Lord. Somebody's mad, though. I'm trying not to look at anybody because I don't want to see people mad at me because I want to smile at you later. You know, oh, yeah, hallelujah. You can sit there. You'd be surprised at your, I mean, I've sat here and had people just glare at me, praise the Lord. If you don't like me, leave. You know, I mean, like, really, I'm not mean. I'm not trying to hurt you, but if you don't like me, if you hate me that much, go. You know what I mean? This is a free, like, nobody, again, nobody forced you to be here, hallelujah. Well, we got visitors, so I got to be nice. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers? and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Praise God. Works is the releasing of faith. That's how we release it. That's how we prove it. We do it by what we say. Oh, how do you serve more when it's hard for you? Because you're releasing faith. And you're, how do you sow in a land, like we preached last week? Isaac sowed in a land of famine when he had nothing. He sowed, and God increased him. How? By faith. 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 Releasing faith. It's what you believe of God if you trust him. Mark 9:23. We're going to close with this. Praise God. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, that word him isn't just for him. That means hers too. So hers, if you can believe. All things are possible to those who believe. What believe means is faith. If you can have faith, all things are possible to him who believe. All things. It doesn't matter. There's no hurdle that'll get in your way that you can't get over. There's no trial that'll stop you. There's nothing that'll keep you from going in to all that God has for you. There's nothing that will keep you from getting to what God has if you can only believe. Jesus himself said it. He said, if you can have faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. If you do not doubt it in your heart, you shall have those things which you say. Praise God. God has set it up. He's given us the ability. And just because people refuse to walk in it, it's not God's fault. And it's not my fault, the Lord. It's their fault. And listen, if people, there is no race, there is no creed, there is no gender, there is nothing that can keep you from getting into everything God has for you. Nothing. If you choose to do it, release your faith. Speak right to those circumstances. Speak to those things that be not as though they were. You need something to change in your life? Start speaking differently about it. Start looking at it and say, no, this is what I want to see, and this is what I'm going to speak. And if you believe it, if you believe God, if you can believe him at his word, then I'm going to tell you right now, we'll see those things come to pass. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so greatly. So greatly that you gave us such a wonderful concept, and that concept is faith. You gave us the ability to have all that we need, all that we desire, and more. Lord, you paid a way for us to walk those things out. And as we see it now, we see it in your word, Lord. Those who decide to follow it will have everything that Jesus ever intended for him. Jesus paid such a great price, and so did the Father by sending his Son. I've said this many times. I wouldn't give up one hair on one of my children's head for any one of you. I love you all, but I don't love you that much. But God sent his only Son to this earth so that we could live, and not just live, but live abundantly. Live a life that is worth something. Live a life that is meaningful. Jesus paid the price. The amazing thing is that the Lord did it in such a time, one of the most recorded times in history. So it's not just set up, talked about in the Bible, but it's talked about through all of secular scholars. Anybody, even people that aren't religious, they talked about Jesus, the works that he did, the things that happened. These things were recorded. And God knew what he was doing. But Jesus came and died so that we could live. Now I'm going to give an opportunity here. Please, everybody's head, if you could bow your head, close your eyes, and just not look around, just for the sake of privacy for other people, just to be respectful for people. You know, something is so lost on people today, but just be respectful of other people. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. I want everybody to think about this. Search your heart and say, you know, do I know that if I were to die today, if something were to happen to me today, I give this invitation, by the way, every week, whether I know everybody here or whether I don't. So don't just think as you're new here that I'm just giving it for you, but I give it because I care about people. But I want you to ask yourself, if I were to die today, do I know where I would go? Am I assured that heaven is on the other side? The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He said, we can know that we're going to heaven. He said, we can be assured that we'll get there. But there's only one way to be assured of that, and that's to accept Jesus, to to confess him with your mouth and believe him. It doesn't mean you're changing. It doesn't mean you're joining this church. It doesn't mean that now you gotta do something specific. All it means is that you recognize that you haven't done that and you want that. So if that's you, if that's what you would like, if you're sitting there saying, I don't know whether I go, and you want to know, it's real easy. Like I said, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, even your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is the first step to entering the world of faith. So if that's you, if you never received Jesus and you like to, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, people aren't looking around, what we're going to do is we're just going to have you raise your hand real quick, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we're going to pray a prayer together. You're not going to come up here or anything like that. We'll all pray the prayer together. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, just go ahead and lift your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it back down. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have served God. Maybe you did live for him, but you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but you walked away. That means that you strayed away from him and you haven't been serving, but you want to get back to that. Well, praise God. If that's you and you'd like to come back to him, now Jesus is just as willing to take you back as he was to take you the first time. So if that's you, just pop your hand up real quick. I have you put it right back down. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I don't see any hands. So Father, I thank you. We have one hand, so we're going to pray a prayer. And I encourage you, if you didn't raise your hand but you wanted to, because sometimes people are shy too, and that's fine too. It's not the raising your hand does it, but it's what you say, what you believe. So we're going to pray a prayer together, and if you didn't raise your hand but you wanted to, you can pray this prayer, mean it from your heart, and it's true, and it'll be so. Well, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that he paid the price so that I could live. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah.